Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And we wrote The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap with our colleague, Stephen Slate. All right.
I sure did.
So always remember that we have that there QR code if you want our free mobile app. Isn't that what that's for?
Yes.
Yeah. And also, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that we have our free live events that are informational sessions for our to become certified as a Freedom Model coach. So if you want to learn about that process, what is the training? What is it about? How does it work? What are your opportunities as a coach or an affiliate with the Freedom Model? And if you want to be a part of the Freedom Model movement in those capacities, you should come to our live events. So we will make sure, and I got to tell Ryan this, to put the link to the live events. Join us. There's also a Q&A at the end of those that you can ask us questions about those opportunities and then enroll and sign up and become a coach with us.
Yeah, we'll put the link underneath this video in our YouTube channel, but also you can just go to thefreedommodel.org and under the coaching certification tab, you can either click on it and read that page, or there's a live events tab, like in the drop-down menu, and you can just go straight there and see when our upcoming dates are. We're pretty much doing them once a week now. And I had somebody ask me on Facebook, you know, that tell me they were in a different country and they couldn't attend the live event. So if you can't attend it at the time that it's set up, enroll anyways, because we record every one of these events and you will get to watch it later at your convenience. I usually get them up by the end of that day. So within a few hours of the event, you'll be able to watch it.
All right. I think that's I say that's it, but that's really big because we're gonna talk about that topic. What is the Freedom Model movement? What are we talking about, and why is it important? So so do you want me to start off?
Yeah, I don't care
because I've been talking here. So a long time ago, when we do the live events with people, and hopefully you'll join us for those. We start off with one of a slide where I wrote what my dream was when I started this 36 years ago. And my dream was to make sure that nobody ever went through what I went through in treatment. Yeah. And that was being brainwashed, abused, gaslit, and which ended with me almost committing suicide as a result of the treatment, not as a result of my drinking or drugging. So a long time ago, you know, 36 years is a long time to do something. And I had met Michelle 36 years ago. We started this really together. Our paths crossed, and that's how that ended up working out. But 36 years is a long time to do something. So every day that I get up, I'm thinking about the next thing that needs to be done to make it so that in all four corners of the globe, people have access to this information.
Yeah.
And that's what the movement is. It's about letting people know that they're the solution to their problems, that they, their mind, their consciousness, their ability to think is everything. And last week we did some podcasts with Rachel Bernstein on the Cult of Alcoholics Anonymous. And She came on our podcast. We went on her podcast. So she's posting that one here in the next week as well. And we discussed, you know, that side of the fence where you can't think for yourself, where you're trapped in an endless feeling of being deprived. And so what is the opposite of that? It's freedom. So the movement is about freedom. So what is freedom? So,
well, yeah, the movement is about, and so we, I want to just touch on this because I think it's relevant. Many of us who have been in cults, and Mark and I have both obviously grew up in the cult of AA, and, you know, grew up in other, had other experiences with, mm-hmm. with cults as well.
Yep.
And cult like relationships.
Yeah.
With controlling people.
Right.
One of the criticisms we've gotten from that podcast, if you can call it a criticism, but it's a good question, is, you know, aren't all groups cults? Like, can't you, is your movement, you know, you're telling people how to think.
Right.
And it's like, no, there's a difference. And the difference is, and it's a vast difference.
It's, yeah,
it's, no, I'm not. Not only am I not telling you how to think, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you that you have to read my book. I'm willing to let you know that nearly everyone solves their problem with addiction on their own, without us, without AA, without treatment, without all of it.
Right.
I'm willing to show you the data that you totally can solve your problem and move on.
So that brings up a great point. So the foundation of the freedom model movement is the individual. So cults negate the individual.
That's it.
And they do that by making you believe through educating you that you don't have autonomy.
No.
You don't have your own autonomous thoughts, or that you can't rely on them. Freedom model says that you can rely on them completely, because the only one inside of you is you, and you're the one in control of your actions based on your beliefs. So the question then becomes, in the freedom model, are your beliefs objectively true when compared to science, logic, and what you believe is good for you? What you believe is good for you, not what we believe. We don't have anything in this book, anything in the 470 pages, that says you need to believe this.
Right.
That doesn't exist.
No. We ask questions. We present data and research. And then we have you look at your own experiences and start to understand what your motivations are, what your beliefs are. And ultimately get to the heart of why you do what you do. We're not telling you why you're doing it, because we don't know.
Right. We couldn't possibly know. So we value your autonomy. We also understand that you're doing the things you're doing on the premise that you're moving in the direction of what you believe is beneficial to you. Now, sometimes that turns out bad, and that's just life. And that you have free will. So, yeah. And infinite free will, meaning you can think anything you want. And so in the freedom model, by acknowledging the truth that you are your own person, you're autonomous, you're driven by your own pursuits of happiness, what you deem is best for you, and that you're a chooser of your actions and your beliefs and your ideas, and that we couldn't, with your autonomy, possibly know what you're thinking. One of the things that we do to safeguard from ever going down the road of trying to control people is, especially with coaching, is we train people in what we call cognitive behavioral education, meaning you're not allowed to judge people because we know that you're autonomous and we can't possibly know what's going on. So we ask questions. So part of CBE, or cognitive behavioral education, or our coaching method, part of that is asking questions, because we have to build the puzzle with you. We don't know anything. We come in cold into these sessions, and knowing that we can't judge you, knowing that we're not allowed to do that, It's not our place. That's the universe's place, I guess, or God or whatever. But it's not the coach's job to judge. Our job is to gauge, ask questions, and then gauge what you tell us against data. And how does that relationship work? If you tell me, I feel like I'm completely out of control and I can't stop myself from drinking, PMOing, shooting heroin, whatever it is, I'd go, oh, well, we have like 6 chapters on that where we have data that disproves that. I'm not telling you have to think that. I'm saying I'll present the data. You can read it or not, you know? And unlike AA that says everything is just a suggestion, you know? But if you jump out of a plane, I just suggest you
wear a parachute.
Wear a parachute. You know, that's condescending cult.
It is. I'm glad you brought that up because I started thinking about all of those ways in the early days that I was in AA, all of the ways that they stifled my questions, dismissed my skepticism, and not only dismissed it, but told me that my skepticism was actually a symptom of my disease.
Yeah.
Showed me that that there's no way I should trust my own thinking. When I would ask questions, I was told, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
I was told, your best thinking got you here. Why are you bothering to do that anymore? I'm sure, and you can comment below, that people have all kinds of little AA-isms that they were told to let them know that you are not allowed to think on your own anymore. You're here because you're selfish, self-centered, you're ego-driven, they would name off all the character defects, right, that you're supposed to get rid of and in order to solve your affliction. And they didn't know me. These people were strangers to me. And so anytime you go somewhere and you're told who you are by strangers, run away.
Yeah. 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 It's really sad when you go down that route. And here's the crazy part, you know, the only way that cults can exist is if they have members that agree.
Yeah.
But the sad part is it usually happens through love bombing and vulnerability. You're at a vulnerable point in your life. They love bomb you into belief, which really puts your guard down. You're vulnerable and you're desperately in need of attention and love and answers. And through that sort of false love, they bring you to believe in ideas that really aren't actually beneficial, and they're really designed about control. Yeah. So ultimately it all comes down to this word. And I wrote a thing a long time ago, I don't know, 20 years ago, called I did a treatise on the control model. I coined this phrase versus the freedom model. So the recovery society is a control-based method, and it can be very subtle with judgment and the use of guilt and shaming. And you're shamed into compliance, or it can be overt, like it was with me, where I don't get my license or my freedom or get off of probation unless I call myself diseased and broken and an alcoholic and an addict in rehab. And when I did, I get my little pink slip and I have my freedom, which then I was never free, right? Once I'm diseased for life, I'm never free. So you see, in the control model, all roads, all logic, quote unquote, faulty logic, lead back to you giving away your right of mind, your right to think. It's not a privilege, it's a right. You think, but they make you ignore that fact.
Yeah.
They make you believe that you can't think for yourself. So let me get back all the way back to the freedom model movement. What is this movement we keep talking about? Super simple. Has really nothing to do with any of what we're talking about. We only bring that up is because people are so wrapped up in cult lingo and recovery lingo that they can't help but frame the freedom model in some way that has nothing to do with the freedom model.
Right.
The freedom model movement is a coaching movement. We want coaches to go out and help people in a non-judgmental way with the Socratic method of asking questions with a data set and a curricula that they present to people. What a beautiful thing, so that people know ultimately that they get to think for themselves and that they are a solution to their problems, so they don't have to be beholden to any other third party. No medications, no endless support, no meetings, no sponsors, no endless support or accountability coaches. There's none of that shit. You don't need any of it. All you need is the right information, and then to ask yourself with your autonomous mind, does this make logical sense for me?
Yes. How can I fit? How do I apply this so that I can make my life, what I want it to be? How can I figure out how I can be happier in my life?
And so there's no attachment to the coach. There's no,
or the freedom model for that matter.
That's right. It's a data set. It's
information.
It's information. That's what this book is. It's, if you look, there's no technique or thing that you have to do there. That doesn't even exist in this book. Doesn't it?
And which makes it difficult for people to even imagine what it is. I want you to think about for those of us that are our age, all right, when we were children, the only way you could listen to the music was either on the radio or the record player. That was it, right? We had vinyl records and I had a little like Scooby-Doo record player, right?
Yeah.
And so in our lifetime, we went from that to every song you could ever imagine that's ever been played in the history of music is available on your phone.
Yeah, you know, streamed to you digitally.
Streamed to you instantly. You just type in, this is what I want to hear, and there it is. And so there was a period of time where we went from like records to 8-tracks to cassettes, like in a matter of 20 years, to digital.
Yeah, to CDs.
Oh, CDs. And then, and CDs digital. Were the first kind of digital.
Yeah.
And I can remember somebody telling me about an iPod. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right. It was inconceivable. That's your point.
It was completely inconceivable. So we're the kind of the iPod in a way, you know, like everybody has known this recovery model for almost 100 years now. It's literally been 90 years.
So they keep asking us, what do I do? I go, you don't do anything. You think differently.
You change your mind.
And they go, it can't be that easy. And I said, it's not that easy initially because you're filled with so much misinformation that you're staring at distractions of myths and ghosts and ideas that have no bearing in reality. And you're so distracted by these things that it's built up the drug into this mythical creature and personified it. And you're so focused on all that. When over here, what the freedom model says is, here's the freedom model. It says that shit isn't real. Here's reality. Your reality, you have beliefs, you have the ability to think, you have consciousness, you get to decide what is my relationship to my habit, to the substance, pornography, to whatever my fetish is, what is my relationship and what is the meaning that my mind gives it and why? And that's all an internal job. So when a coach facilitates educating, it's educating on that fact that you have this grouping of mythology that's blocking you from making a direct preference change.
That's it.
Now, the best way to explain this is imagine something that you once really loved, and now you simply let it go at some point in your life and you moved on from it. It was
could
easy.
Be a person.
Could be a person, relationship, car, bicycle, drink, food, activity, job, career. Could be anything. But think about the one where it was very important, and then one day it just wasn't that important anymore. And it may have been a bit of a process where you figured out, you know, this is getting kind of lame, and then you moved on, and you kind of forgot about it, and you didn't do any recovery, you didn't feel deprived, you just left it. You made a preference change, and you did that internally, and you didn't need a sponsor, and you didn't need therapy, and you certainly didn't need a drug. Right? You didn't need Suboxone to make that decision for you or to make the difficult change happen easier. You know, there wasn't any of that stuff.
It's so interesting because I've worked with so many people over the years who really didn't even realize that they've already done that with substances, with different substances. Now, some people are like, well, you know, I used to love cocaine. I don't really do that anymore. I used to love weed. I don't really like that anymore. But I'm still doing this. And it's like, you can change. Cigarettes are really a one that is, there are people that have quit every drug. They've quit alcohol. But we used to go to these AA meetings where everybody be smoking. And it's like, you put down all these other things. You changed your preference for all these other things. You can change your preference for smoking too, but they don't think that way. They don't equate it. They think it's somehow different, and it isn't. It isn't different. It's changing your relationship. It's changing your mind. And I want to go into another spot too. I think one of the most exciting things I've seen happening with our movement, because our movement has been happening, right? We are all around the world, is I'm seeing mental health professionals who are also, there is a lot of research backing the idea that depression is a rumination habit.
Right.
You're ruminating in the negative, you're ruminating in futility. And there are mental health professionals that are moving in that direction. So they're like, no, there isn't something broken. So the freedom model is movement is not just about substance use problems, because addiction is just another form of mental illness, right? That's what they want you to believe. But even some mental illnesses now, they're being shown, and they showed it a long time ago, 25, 30 years ago, that cognitive behavioral therapy was more effective than medication. And then I had somebody write to me about metacognition therapy or something, which doesn't just do your thoughts, but tackles beliefs. So I think it's so exciting that mental health is moving in this direction too.
Yeah, well, Jerry said something a long time ago that was so true. He said, in the fullness of time, all things get done. All truth is revealed. And that's in the fullness of time. Could be billions of years, could be millions of years, could be tomorrow, right? We don't know when that happens, when people will be open to the truth. And the reality is, if you start from the basics, and that is that you think. And if we were in a debate, you and me, and you were listening to, you're a thinking creature, you think, and you had to debate me on that point, I'd be open to that debate, but I would immediately know we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Because there are people that actually believe that they're not in control of their thoughts. And I ask, I go, really? Like right now? Don't just blow by that. Are you really? Who's in control then? Who's making the thoughts happen in your head right now? Like, how is that happening? Is there another one of you somewhere? And so that's a question. That's the Socratic method. I don't know. Maybe there's two people in there. Maybe there's an Oz behind a curtain behind your brain who's making all this happen, and you're just the puppet. But if you really believe that you're just the puppet sticking the needle in your arm, we got a lot of work to do. But here's the deal. Here's the difference. I don't have a dog in the fight trying to convince you of anything. I'm just going to show you that 96% of the people that do heroin eventually get over it, whether they're treated or not. You can decide whether you want to move in that direction. And what did those people do? They changed their mind. That's what they say they did. I mean, when you look at the, so I don't care if you want to believe there's an Oz behind the curtain and that your biology is making you stick a needle in your arm. You can believe that. I don't see any data that supports it, though. That's the problem. So I'm probably going to hedge on the side of all the research that supports that human beings think they have preferences based on their beliefs. And some of those beliefs are illogical. They don't make sense. And they're based in mythology. They're based on ideas that are simply wrong, simply factually incorrect. So I like to correct facts and then gauge my decisions, me personally, on facts. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect at that. There are times where I have all kinds of irrational bullshit going on in my head, and I make shit up in my mind, and I reap the rewards of that bullshit. We all do it. But that's the learning process.
We get a lot of people that challenge us online about, you know, the idea that your thoughts emanate from some part of your brain, that your brain is creating them through chemicals and things like that. And there, if you're like me, your thoughts come in and out of your mind continuously. I'm continuously, there are thoughts. And am I consciously making those thoughts? No. Okay. But when I become aware of them, it's easy to change them.
That's right.
It's easy. And where do those thoughts come from? Memories, habits, desires, right? Which all have been created by me in my historical experiences, right? So I feel like the older I get, the more I have them. But when I become, if I am mindful and become aware of them, and look at, I'm not somebody that's mindful 24/7. I don't think anybody wants to do that. That takes work.
Yeah.
Right. But I know unequivocally that my thoughts have zero power over my decision making. Zero. But that came from practice and questioning. Like, there was a time when, yes, I was run by habit. I was run by habitual thought. I thought my thoughts had power over my actions. I think there are a lot of people that exist that way.
I want to be clear here. Your actions are run by your thoughts, but what she's talking about is awareness.
Yes.
Now we have to be careful here. So I want to be precise so that people don't get confused. So when she's talking about spurious thoughts, so you have two classes of thoughts that we talk about a lot, and that is mindful or conscious thinking, where you're working on a project, you're thinking, and you're aware. You have this awareness. I am thinking this. You're aware of yourself, your place in the universe, and you're aware. And you're actively engaging in consciousness. Then sometimes you take a break.
Yep.
And but that doesn't mean your mind shuts off. So you have spurious thoughts. And then you become aware of those spurious thoughts. You say, oh, I want to get high. Wait a minute. Do I? That's the point.
That's it.
In awareness. So spurious thought. People want to categorize conscious, mindful thinking in with spurious thoughts and act as if they're the same thing. But the difference is spurious thoughts, until you make them conscious, are not acted upon. So when you have a spurious thought, the nature of it is that it's spurious. It has no teeth. It's just an idea that pops in your head, right? But think about this. If it pops in your head, what does that mean? That means you just became aware of it. Prior to that, you could have just been on autopilot driving your car, right? But then you're like, wow, I just had a really spurious thought of getting high again. Oh my God, that's a craving. No, it's not. It's a spurious thought that has no bearing on your life whatsoever. It's a habitual thought that you've had a million times because you've gotten high a million times, and it's nothing more. Then when you become conscious and aware of it, you can frame it differently. this is a freedom model lesson. So then you would frame it as, wait a minute, I just had a spurious thought. It's meaningless to me because I don't get high anymore.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I see no value in that.
That's right, because I challenge that in my coaching sessions, or I challenge that by reading the book, and I have the data set that says that's kind of ridiculous. I just don't do that shit to myself anymore. And so it's really important when we're talking about all these things to understand what's happening and the actual power you possess, which it isn't a matter of strength, power. The power is the fact that you can choose. The power, the superpower you have is free will, is consciousness. It's your autonomy, your ability to be who you want to be, and that you get to choose for yourself. That you were born with. You're born a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And then being aware of your superpower raises that level up quite high, because then you run your life. There's no more Oz behind the curtain that you play into and say, I really can't stop myself. Well, you can. You can go in that direction. If that becomes your belief, then that becomes truth.
A lot of times these spurious thoughts come from our beliefs, right? Like if you're somebody like I was when I was younger, some years ago, who had a lot of like very negative thoughts about yourself. And I didn't even realize it. Like, I didn't even realize how much I would bash myself. And one of the reasons that I think I fell into and was, you know, the cult so easily was because it is rooted in that. It is rooted in feeling in self-flagellation. It's rooted in feeling like you're bad and broken. And when we're helping people to solve their problem, becoming aware of those kinds of habitual ways of thinking and negative self-talk and beliefs is so important. And that's why we talk about got to set aside shame and guilt. And people are like, well, how do you do that? Well, you do that by becoming aware of it first.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Conscious awareness is how you test theories, your beliefs, your theories, the things that you've been told. And so, as you can see, that places the freedom model in a completely different class than something like AA that says, believe in the dogma or else.
You're bad.
Yeah. Believe in the dogma or else. You are a bad person. You are resentful. And they're the number one offender. And you're going to go back to drinking if you keep that way. And the only way out is if you go to meetings and serve others in the AA way, which is recruitment. That's all cult stuff.
Yeah.
The free model has nothing of that. Nothing. Zero.
Yeah. We actually encourage people to move on.
Yeah.
That's it. You solved your problem.
That's a great point. I forgot about that part. So all of this ends and then you just move on with your life. And then you forget about the freedom model because this only has bearing on your habits that are destructive, and we're trying to help you move past
that. And once you understand your autonomy, once you understand your freedom to choose, once you really get a good grasp on, oh, I'm always doing what I want to do. I mean, that's the key. I'm always doing what I want to do. So if I'm engaging in a habit that I want to stop for some reason, hey, why do I want to stop it? Why do I like it? You know, and once I start getting those spurious thoughts, I need to go do that right now. I can question them. I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah,
right.
You can equally say, no, I don't do that anymore. And you just let it go and move on. So all of this. So what is the freedom model movement? I have to bring it back to the macro concept. The macro concept is, if you think it makes more sense that people have the capacity to become aware of their thoughts and change their behaviors based on that awareness, if you believe that there's objective truth about the physicality of substances that we can measure and look at and say drugs do certain things fairly reliably, and that we can downplay that drug experience to a certain degree and not overplay it, then that's something that the freedom model pushes, because that's the truth, right? If you believe that over the idea that drugs are personified, evil, nebulous addictions that attack you and take over your biology and force you to take them and compel you. Once you start comparing one model to another model, you start to go, yeah, that doesn't make much sense. None of that shit really makes much sense. That's kind of fucking weird. And then the question is, if you want to be a part of the movement, it's after you get your shit together and you start to move on with your life. If you're somebody that says, you know what, I want to pass that on to somebody. I don't want people to go down this path. I don't want people to suffer in rehabs and endless, you know, sober living environments and endless medications and endless meetings that are totally unnecessary. And I want to be a part of this. Well, then we have three levels of participation. You'd be a coach, an affiliate, or a coalition member, and come to the live event and learn about it and be a part of something that is really changing the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Or solve your problem and live your life, live your best life,
move on,
because that is what we want for people. That's what the Freedom Model wants for people, is to be able for them to know that they can go live their best life. So if you are struggling and you're thinking, I like what you're saying, this makes real good sense to me, but damn it, I can't seem to solve this problem, then go to thefreedommodel.org/coaching and look at how you can work with a certified Freedom Model coach. You might actually even get to work with us directly. So we want to help you. We also have wonderful online products that you can do on your own,
autonomous. And they're affordable.
And they're absolutely affordable. And you will see that under the coaching tab as well.
Yeah, go to the bottom and look at all the options. The other thing is get the app and the app. The QR code is there on the screen if you're watching this. But get the mobile app. You can find that on the Play Stores.
Yes. Right? And when you get the mobile app, you're going to get an automatic email that kind of takes you through what you can find in the mobile app and how to find it. It's not your typical app. It's a learning app. Right. It's on a learning platform actually that Harvard uses. It's the same platform. And so there's modules, and within that learning app, you'll get sample content, video content, ebooks. You know, so you have to go into that module and you'll be able to watch the videos and see, you know, the PDF, the ebooks are all in PDF form so you can read them. And you'll learn a lot just from the app alone.
That's right. So we provide more free content than any addiction help model in the world. So we're here for you.
If you're listening to this, go to our YouTube channel.
Yeah. And like and subscribe.
Yeah.
And give us a good review on the podcast. That helps us reach more people. It really does, folks.
Yeah, it does. Right. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great week. Hey, our next episode, we're going to have a special guest who is a therapist who left. She's going to talk about her experiences in AA and leaving AA, and also working with people and kind of working in the industry. So you're not going to want to miss it.
All right. Take care, everybody.